My name is Leela. I sing in Roman Remains.
And I'm Toby, and I am also in Roman Remains.
That's right. When you Toby, basically, you know, you've done some remixes, and then you said, okay, you know, where are we going to take this next, right? But you didn't sit down and say, you know, let's say EDM is in, so you know what, I'm going to embrace the trends.
No, I mean, I don't care at all for trends or, you know, or for any genres specifically. You know, I think as the Duke Spirit, we've always been influenced by a lot of electronic music, but perhaps never really infused it in what we do, you know, in what we actually create. And so doing this project, it was just me kind of wanting to scratch an itch, really. It was something I'd kind of wanted to do for a while, and I wanted to teach myself, wanted to learn how to program, how to play around with some different toys, how to write songs using different instruments. So it wasn't like I went into it saying, I want to do that genre now. It was more about, how do I write songs using different instruments? How do I learn new techniques? You know, and it was important for me to kind of do that without crossing over into the rock world too much. I wanted it to be something distinctly different for my own pleasure and
satisfaction.
Yeah, so it wasn't, you know, I don't think it's EDM, but I don't think it's electro, it's not industrial, it's kind of a, it's not rock, it's a bit of all of those, but it's not specifically one of them.
Yeah, as far, I mean, from where I was watching from, because this is very much something that Toby started, you know, I didn't put the energy in at the beginning at all. So, you know, for that, I have a lot of admiration for Toby for even sort of beginning to get these soundscapes together. But from where I was standing, from what I could see, it was really, you were very intrigued and interested and drawn to being self-sufficient. So, you know, you kind of like, oh, look, you know, people have been doing it for years, but finally you had the right sized computers and stuff in the, you know, back of your luggage to start writing some things on a tour when you're a bit tired and you want to put headphones on and mess around. So it was really, from what I could see, you were just like, oh, look, I can do this by myself, and just like kind of go into a corner on a tour bus and just like make these tunes without having to like discuss it and without becoming a big deal. You were just sort of entertained. So that's really where it started from.
Drunken exchanges between Toby and Simon Burt. So tell me about the drunken exchanges, because what is interesting when you're describing the idea of being in the corner of the computer, but that's what's fascinating about how this came to be, right?
Yes, I mean, like most good things, it started with a conversation in the pub. So it was, yeah, you know, that's where all the good ideas start. But yeah, a good friend of ours, Simon, is a writer and a producer and generally a kind of geek in the best possible way, you know. So I think just in between tours at one point, I was talking to him about how I'd started writing some, you know, electronic music, or been writing things, programming things on my laptop. And so we just got to talking about sharing some ideas with each other. So I went over to his studio. He's got a very modest studio in West London, you know, a few bits of nice gear, but largely it's just, you know, collecting sounds and making our own sounds. So we just started mucking around, really. And and at that point, it wasn't even, let's make an album and let's create a band and let's go on tour and all that. It was purely just, let's write a load of songs and have a bit of fun making, you know, playing around with pedals and distorting things and making everything sound broken. You know, that was kind of our main goal at the beginning of doing it. And then it gradually grew into kind of a handful of songs which sounded like they could be an album. And then at that point is when we you know, started to take it more seriously as a piece of work, you know, a body of work.
Something playful but never dumb. But this is where it now suddenly, it's not that it rises above, but it becomes its own thing that you can't just say, like you said, you can't genre-lize it. You decided to take a different stance in terms of instrumentation, but in terms of them being great songs and songs that have meaning and songs that people should pay attention to and learn from. This is when you got in the picture and said, okay, so you've made these playful beats. Now we're going to focus this into something, you know, not even the next level, but what it is now.
Yeah, and actually with a lot of, really good, assertion from Toby of just like, come on, you could, you know, you could do this. And I was sort of preoccupied with other things at the time. And but you know, Toby sort of really helped me help myself, I think. He was like, you've got material coming out of your head, you know, you've been on these really interesting trips, and just get down to it, just put these headphones on and just start writing, you know. So again, I sort of say thanks to him, because I just was in quite a, I was in quite a sort of frazzled state post lots of touring with the Duke Spirit, and my stepmother's just passed away, and we've had this whole kind of like 2 years of things just being a bit out of kilter and different and sort of stressful, and you know, lots of change, I think, in my life. And it was a very good place to focus the words I had sort of ringing around my head, which were definitely built up from trips away, courses and visiting ashrams, which were not quite the hippie scene that you might imagine. So I've been careful not to talk too much about that, because I don't want it to sort of be...
You don't want people to suddenly turn you into the Zen princess for the 2014s, right?
Sounds great, though. No, I mean, it's just, you know, it's not all kind of sat on floors around cushions and talking nonsense. It's actually quite... it takes a lot of mental focus and time to process the thoughts and the ideas and the metaphysical truths that are presented to you. And it takes concentration to meditate and then to step back in a normal awake sense and discuss what you're doing and learn from people from many generations of work, hundreds and thousands of years of information that's passed down. And so I'm by no means fully integrated into that world, but I have now stepped in and out of lots of learning experiences, and with that comes a lot of language and a lot of words and a lot of colour and enthusiasm, which is hence the album title Zeal, really, which was about all of us just working with, you know, not knowing the goal, working with what you have and being excited about what you have right in front of you.
And then you have to take this live, and you say... And this is the thing that happens always. And it's this Herculean decision that has to be made, that I've made something basically in the box. And so this becomes the decision now with electronic music. Is it two turntables and, you know, as Beck would say, is it two turntables and a microphone? Or are we going to make a show out of this? And this, so you had, you know, you made the EP, and in between the EP and the album, you said, okay, well, now where? We want to take this out there.
I mean, I kind of knew what I wanted to do with it as soon as the album was finished. I kind of had, I'd done my kind of a lot of researching into what kind of gear we'd need to get and who I wanted to play drums, because I kind of made the decision fairly early on that I wanted it to have a band feel, even though the record is very much obviously not performed live and it's programmed and it's, you know, it has... You know, it's the record isn't a totally kind of watertight sequenced, you know, album. It's, there's lots of live performance in there, you know, guitars and synths played live and all that, so it's not just all beat mapped and squared off and all that kind of thing. You know, it has some organicness to it as well. But because of our background being, you know, 9-10 years playing rock and roll music, I knew that in order to play the venues we want to play, it's got to be energetic and it's got to feel, it's got to have some liveness to it, you know. And that would be the only way that would kind of satisfy us playing as well. I think we'd
get bored if it was too straight. We'd be very bored by the repetition, you know. Yeah. So there has to be some, you know, some danger and some, you know, I say danger, but you know, there has to be some trepidation when you stand on stage, because there are things that might stop and start and go wrong. you are playing along to something that's been programmed and put into an album, and actually you have to stay in time with it. So personally,
it's not flexible.
Yeah, it's not flexible. And I think we've spent a long time in a you know, rock and roll band. The whole thing is flexible, elastic, going over here and bouncing back over there and sounding, you know, kind of like a complete mess there for 30 seconds and then smashing you against the wall. You know, it's all about just like,
And now it's regimented, and you have rules. You've made your own rules, and now you have to follow them.
Yeah, you have to follow them, and it took a lot of rehearsing for me, not so much for the other guys, but I had to step up to our own plate that we had built to step up to, because there's lots of entrance and exits of you know, verses and chorus, which aren't all in the same pattern. They don't follow normal fours or sixes or twos or eights or whatever. And I had to actually sort of go, oh God. if I call myself a musician, I better be able to do this.
But also, I mean, I see this as being quite an evolving project anyway. So I think maybe the next time we tour, we'll change some things up again, you know, or we'll, as because of budget constraints right now, we're just starting this band and things, we have to keep it quite tight. So there's only three of us playing. But, you know, as tours go on, and hopefully if we can afford it, maybe we'll add more people to the band, and we'll add more, we can start taking stuff off the backing track and performing it live, as, you know, when we're able to do that, you know.
But the other thing that you've done immediately, which is really fun, is, and I know you love film, so, you know, I mean, I'm thinking Mad Max, Blade Runner, this music's ready to rock, is it not?
Yeah, and that was, not the idea of scoring movies, but the kind of soundtrack, you know, quality was something I wanted, you know, I wanted in there as well. You know, there was a playfulness, but there's also, there's lots of different colours to this, and having that kind of soundtrack aspect was definitely one of them. As you said, we all love films, and, you know, some soundtracks are, some of those, soundtracks are the greatest albums ever made, you know, so.
It's also, with any album that has that kind of characteristic, you know, there's too many of them, but there's something quite stunning for a few seconds when you're a listener to feel that what you're listening to is filmic, because you're sort of engaging part of your brain in the depth of atmosphere and visuals and the poetry that is, you know, film, capturing something, scene, you know, leaf in the wind, whatever, but then actually not having the visual with it, but it's still conjuring a filmic dimension, is, yeah, pretty stunning. And if we can achieve that for a few seconds in a song or two, you know, then I feel that we've done really good work.
You've done it, though, because when you look at the visuals, otherwise known as the videos, for the Stone or Gazebo, you've already put some pretty spacey, pretty interesting. I mean, there's multiple yous. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at you now, and I really should be seeing double and triple and all sorts of... But what's interesting about what you've done visually is it also fits the music really well. You were very thoughtful about it. You didn't just say, oh, let's make a performance video. You said, okay, we're going to do this, but we're going to stretch it a little bit and make it feel like the piece.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's been a little bit of a gamble, because we, as you said, we decided not to come straight out and make a performance video or a video which featured us too heavily to start with. We actually made a video where we're hardly in it to begin with, you know, and that was quite deliberate. Whether or not that's the smartest business thing to do, I don't know, but it didn't really matter to us, because we've done that plenty with our other band, and, you know, and I think definitely for the first 6 months of this band happening, people perhaps haven't been able to actually view us playing anything at all. It's been quite a faceless kind of thing to begin with. So, and the video for Gazebo is something that was an opportunity that just popped up that we grabbed straight away while Leela was in New York, and she just shot this video with Steven Sebring, who's a very great visual artist and photographer, yeah, and works with Patti Smith a lot, and is someone who we greatly admire. So that was, again, something that kind of everything started to tie in nicely, because we from the beginning with the artwork, and this kind of light motion and beams of light was something that kind of interested us to begin with, and it started to stretch across everything.
Yeah, we sort of expanded our colour scheme and light sources and visual aids, but at the same time, the one thing that we sort of both said, or we started with when we were sort of discussing what will we present visually, was just the notion of rarefied light, which I think united us both from A, being fans of the theatrics of light, a great rock and roll show, or from Spiritualized to Nine Inch Nails, you know, something about the experience when the theatre of what you do is beautifully lit. So that was a very sort of, you know, from that was a very functional perspective on light. But then obviously meditation work and thinking about the esoteric things that I have been sort of dwelling upon, there is a sense of, you know, enlightenment and working with rarefied light, and the idea that it's before matter and it's before any of this physical world comes, engrosses its form. So it was a very easy starting point, but difficult because there's so much you can do with that. But we've been fortunate to collaborate with brilliant photographers and art directors. Andy Colborne from North London, who did the front cover of the album, was a great starting point. Once he'd brought that to us, we were able to then sort of go, right, and then show that to video makers and photographers. So we owe a big thanks to, yeah, that photographer. And, other great people we've worked with. Jay Clark in London, another great photographer.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs from Here Is the Bread, and then you get to play songs by anybody else you want to in between.
Well, we were in Montreal, and I'm already a fan of Leonard Cohen, and I think I have a book of his lyrical works, but I just, we were in a bookshop in Montreal, and I bought some poems, and I had just been reading something about doves, and the opening line was building a nest in your shoe or something like that. Yes, that was it. And I had it open on that page, and we were just trying to demo this song, and so I stole a little bit, but I changed it around, and then had this idea of very weak, small animals or insects getting closer to humans in a sort of mystical, providential way.